A building, solid and imposing, along its thick base are tall arches, forming a colonnade let into its hard hide. At the centre are high, transparent doors flanked by columns. There's a pediment halfway up the façade, and ranged along it at 20-foot intervals are the impassive faces of ancient gods and goddesses. Rising up above this is row upon row of windows, each one a luxuriant eye. The whole edifice is dense, boxy, four-square and white, that milky, translucent white. Over the central doors is a sign, the lettering picked out in individual white bulbs. The sign reads, "The Ritz." Tembe looks at the luxury hotel, looks at it and then crosses Piccadilly, dodging the traffic, squealing cabs, hooting vans, honking buses. He goes up to the entrance. A doorman stands motionless by his slowly revolving charge. He, too, is white, milky, translucent white, his face white, his hands white. His heavy coat falls almost to his feet in petrified folds of milky, translucent white. Tembe stretches out a black hand. He places its palm against the column flanking the door. He admires the colour contrast, the black fading into the yellow finger flanges and then into the white, the milky, translucent white. He picks at the column, picks at it the way that a schoolboy distresses a plaster surface. He picks away a crumb of the wall. The doorman looks past him with sightless, milky, translucent eyes. Tembe takes a glass crack pipe from the pocket of his wind cheater and fumbles the crumb into the broken end of Pyrex piping that serves as a bowl. Setting the pipe down on the pavement, at the base of the white wall, from his other pocket he removes a blowtorch. He lights the blowtorch with a non-safety match, which he strikes on the leg of his jeans. The blowtorch flares yellow. Tembe tames it to a hissing blue tongue. He picks up the crack pipe and, placing the stem between his dry lips, begins to stroke the bowl with the blue tongue of flame. The fragments of crack in the pipe deliquesce into a miniature angel falls of fluid smoke that drops down into the globular body of the pipe, where it roils and boils. Tembe draws and draws and draws, feeling the rush rise up in him, rise up outside of him, cancelling the distinction. He draws and draws until he is just the drawing, just the action, a windsock with a gale of crack smoke blowing through it. "I'm smoking it," he thinks, or perhaps only feels. "I'm smoking a rock of crack as big as the Ritz." When Danny got out of the army after Desert Storm, he went back to Harlesden in northwest London. It wasn't so much that he liked the area, who could, but that his posse was there, the lads he'd grown up with. And also there was his uncle, Darkus. The old man had no one to care for him, now Hattie had died. Danny didn't like to think of himself as being overly responsible for Darkus. He didn't even know if the old man was his uncle, his great-uncle, or even his great-great-uncle. Hattie had never been big on the formal properties of family, precisely what relation adults and children stood in to one another, so much as the practical side, who fed who slept with who made sure who didn't play truant. For all Danny knew, Darkus might have been his father or no blood relation at all. Danny's mother, Coral, who he'd never really known, had given him another name, Bantu. Danny was Bantu, and his little brother was called Tembe. Coral had told Aunt Hattie that the boy's father was an African, hence the names, but it wasn't something he'd believed for a minute. "What's in a name anyways?" said the newly dubbed Danny to Tembe, as they sat on the bench outside Harlesden tube station, drinking Dunn's River and watching the job seekers tussle and ponce money for VP or cooking sherry. "Our original names are stupid to begin with. Bantu, Tembe. A mother thought they was kind of cool and African, but she knew nothing, man, bugger all. The Bantu were a fucking tribe, man. And as for Tembe, that's just a style of fucking music." "I don't care," Tembe replied. "I like my name. Now I'm big." He pushed his chest forward, trying to fill the body of his wind cheater. "I tell everyone to call me Tembe, so leastways they ain't dissing me or nothing." Tembe was 19, a tall, gangly youth, with yellow-black skin and flattish features. "Tch!" Danny sucked the inside of his cheek contemptuously. "You're a fucking dead, Tembe, and ain't that the fucking truth? Lucky I'm back from doing the man stuff to sort you, innit?"